Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 780, Put a Pin in It, recorded live on May 13th, 2021. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm, and GT is unfortunately not here tonight. He has some family matters to attend to, but we probably have the best person to take his spot, the longest supporting member of the Halo, of the Podtacular community that I can think of, unless you go back to some really old timers, but this person has been involved with the Podtacular community for a very long time, probably close to as long as I have been here, something like that. Not entirely sure. We'll get to that in a little bit. But we got the one, the only, Pins Halo on the podcast. How you doing, Pins?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being back on. It's been a while since we've actually had you on the show.
I think the last time might have been when we were talking about Saints Testimony.
Oh, wow. That would have been, 3 years ago-ish?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like
Haas,
that?
Haas was still there. Was still still on. So, yeah.
Wow. And then...
Yeah, I think that was probably the last time I might have been on.
And then Forward Unto Dawn tried to steal our thunder and have you on one of their podcasts recently.
Yeah. I mean, they... I was on with... Danny and Dave for talking about Oblivion. No. Shadows of Reach. And then their the last one was a kind of like an extended universe draft where we three rounds where you pick like your favorite part of the Halo universe and then one round of what you would remove.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was.
I'll be honest, I haven't listened to their podcast since the one I was on from E3 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was Nakai, myself, Danny, and Dave on there, and it was fun. It was definitely a fun time. So
very good.
It was an interesting way to do it. So
yeah, for sure. There's definitely a lot of things you can do with the Halo lore as far as tier lists and discussions of what does and doesn't work or what we like or don't like. So
oh yeah
that doesn't get old for sure.
No, I mean there's a lot of really great things in the Halo lore. I mean it's little things. Mm-hmm. Like some of the Oni data drops, or actually some of the lore that was in the first and second series of the loot crates were really good, where you know you were a
Fireteam Apollo stuff?
Yeah, the Fireteam Apollo stuff was really good. And I mean, there were some things that weren't. The animated Fall of Reach and the Hail the Conquering Hero commercials for Halo 5.
Well, so the advertising campaign, if you take it as a separate entity, was really good. I
mean, it was.
Just had no relation to the game whatsoever.
I mean...
Or very loosely.
Yeah, I think the problem with that, for me anyway, from the advertisement was it set really poor expectations, or it set expectations that the game did not meet. Mm. And I think that led to the way people being disgruntled with the game. And that's why, I mean, if I had my choice simply to help reduce the amount of salt that came out from Halo 5, that's why I would say, yeah, not that, but
I could definitely agree with that. There's a lot that advertising is supposed to do for things like movies and video games, mm-hmm, that the Halo 5 campaign unfortunately just did not do.
No, I mean, but you know, to be fair, how many? I mean, like, I'm actually a big fan of the Believe Halo, the Believe commercial, mm-hmm, run for Halo 3. It was really well done. But if you look at it, it really didn't have a lot to do with Halo 3. I mean, like the individual segments, which talked about Chief, you know, waiting on Chief or whatever. I mean, that was never reflected in game. So it wasn't, egregious or anything like that. But it's like, it's not, doesn't give you truly an accurate prediction of the game itself. So
I see what you're saying. At the same time, I don't feel like how they came up with the Believe campaign and the whole Halo 3. Some of it was kind of direct tie into games, but for the Believe campaign specifically, it wasn't designed to be, hey, this is what the game is going to be. This is the result of the game. This is a hype campaign.
True.
That is just universe. Yeah. Like, it's alluding to what happened. So obviously it's not directly in the game, but it's as a result of the game, this is where we got. So it's a different type of marketing where I think a lot of the expectation of what 343 is pushing out for Halo 5's campaign is Chief has gone rogue. This is the mystery you're going to have to solve in Halo 5. So they were directly trying to influence, hey, this is what you're going to have to end up doing in the game, where Halo 3's campaign was like, no, this is the result of what you're going to eventually do, but it has no tie into the game whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you do have a point there. But either way, like I said, it was something that individually it was well done. Cinematically, it was really nice. It's just
Hunt the truth.
I mean,
the audio drama. Oh my gosh!
The first one was probably the first season was definitely better than the second season. But I mean, that second season was still great. And
I don't think the second season would have happened if it wasn't for the massive success of the first season.
Oh no! And I mean, people talk about 343 and Halo needing to innovate and do different things. I don't know of any other game that put out a podcast that tied into the game itself. You know, what 343 did there was actually pretty groundbreaking, I think. And there were some big names in there. You know, Keenan Michael Key as Benjamin Giroux.
Yep.
Kobe Smulders was Petra.
And then you had Mark Hamill in there.
Yeah, well, yeah, in season two.
Yep.
Yeah. And Stacy Keach as Mendez. You know, there were a lot of, I mean, it was definitely groundbreaking to me. I mean, and so I'd like to see them do more of that. Because I think they've shown that they can do it and do it well. Just have them focus on making it good and we'll go from there.
Yeah. And there's already things that they've done, like the, what is it, Become trailer from last year, where Halsey's talking about making the suit of armor.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, obviously, that has no tie into the game, but obviously, it's a hype piece.
It is, but it's, I mean, from a cinematic standpoint, it has a very majestic feel to it. The music. I think the music, which is really good in it. And, I think that one just was really well done too. So,
yep.
But
yeah, it's all the hype stuff is usually pretty good. If there's anything that ties into the story, that's where you gotta be careful.
Yeah.
With what you're putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got quite a few things to dive into tonight. Not a lot going on. We've got some small things going on. We have a new employee spotlight. We have a new community update, an update to some playlist calendars, and we've got a preview to Flighting for Season 7 coming as well. So all that. But there's a couple of things, since it's been a while since you've been on the podcast, Pins, to ask you about. First of all, how is the timeline project going?
Oh, the timeline project, that one.
and give a little explanation for those that might not be as keen on to what monumental task you've decided to take upon yourself.
Okay, so I ended up getting involved with a community Focus Fire Chat. It's primarily a Destiny podcast, but they do extra lore, and they asked me to come on and talk about Halo, which, okay, fine. I did give them some names of people who probably would do it better, but they asked for me. But as part of it was one of the questions I was getting from people was, well, what order do I read the books? And it's like, well,
you can... It's a question that comes up a lot.
Yes. So the discussion was, you have chronological, you have release, and then you have chronological and go from there. But as I was going through it, you start looking at like Fall of Reach. Fall of Reach actually spans a very long period of time. So
like 20 years or so, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it jumps around a little bit. I mean, you start off with in 2517 with on Jericho 7, I think it was. No, it's not 2517, but you start on Jericho 7, where Blue Team is active. And so I started kind of figuring out, okay, well, what's this gonna look like if I just start with the novels and put like everything in action in chronological order? Because like I said, some things happen before others and things like that. And that led me to start doing that. Oh, okay, well, if you think about it from the games, from a chronological standpoint, if you were to play them in chronological order, you'd start with Halo Wars, you start with Reach, Halo CE, and then you go into Halo 2. But partway through Halo 2, you jump into Halo 3 ODST. You complete Halo 3 ODST, complete Halo 2, Halo 3, and then 4, 5 Wars. And then you would have Spartan Assault and Spartan
Strike
mixed in there too, because those, they're simulations, but they jump around too, because I think in some of those missions you jump into New Mombasa, if I remember right.
Yeah, Spartan Strike starts out in New Mombasa. Like right during the right after or during the events of like ODST.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I started going down this rabbit hole where I started choosing, okay, like these pages of the novels occur here, this part of the game occurs here, this mission occurs here, that occurs there. 600 lines later, an Excel spreadsheet. I had this massive spreadsheet that was like paid, these pages occurred in March of 2525. These occurred in the before common area, especially when you're talking about the Forerunner trilogy. The one that was actually a real pain, though, was New Blood. Because,
really?
Well, you have to understand, I mean, I've had discussions about this with, like, CIA and whatnot. It's New Blood, it's all reminiscent, but it's all reminiscent from a single point in time. But Buck talks about all these different things and the time frame that they occur.
So all the flashbacks
are all flashbacks.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's just like, and I can't remember... He says someplace in there, it talks about how he tells stories, and he says, you just got to keep up. I'm like, I love Matt Forback. He wrote that so well in Buck's voice. That was a pain to do.
Should reach out to me like, hey, can you make it a little easier on me next time?
The nice thing is most of the Halo novels have times and dates. So that made it easier.
Some do. Not all do, which can be a little frustrating.
But kind of as a roundabout way, yeah, that led to this massive timeline project of all the Halo lore that novels, books, graphic novels, comics, ARG, some of the additional stuff, like the stuff that came out of the loot crates, Halsey's journal, things
which,
like that, all
still
that stuff.
Done yet.
Hey, I stopped asking ever since you put the command in chat, okay? I have not asked.
Someone asked like a month ago. But yes. At some point we'll talk about it. But there's other podcasts and other groups that have gone into it in probably way more detail that we'll ever talk about. But we'll talk about it at some point.
But yeah, that's an ongoing thing, and between some real life stuff that has gone on and honestly, that requires a lot of focus to do, and I've had a lot of different things come up, and I actually have something else that I'm working on right now. There's a site called timeline.js. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Haven't heard of it, no.
What you can do is you can download an Excel template, or it's a Google Doc template, and you can build a timeline for it. You can add media and things like that. So I started putting one together for the Halo games. mm-hmm. in chronological order. So, yeah, that I've got that going on too.
Which is kind of an extension of the whole Google Sheet thing, probably.
Yeah, it does. And let me just say right now, the guys over at Halopedia, thank you very much because you helped make that real easy for me.
Well, I bet they love you for the timeline that you put together. CIA is probably just like chewing it up.
Every time people look at that, they go, are you insane? Well, yeah, but.
Yeah, I think I remember mentioning that like 8 years ago when you first showed it off to me. And at that point, I think it was less than 300 lines.
Yeah, it wasn't that large. And then last time I looked, we're getting close to 700 and it just kind of blew up. And yeah.
So are you up to date?
Oh, no. Now, no, I'm between the new books that are out and whatnot. I just, and just like I said, some personal things that have come up over the year have taken my attention away that I've had to deal with. So I haven't had a chance to really sit down and do it. I keep looking at it and I go, I know I got to do this. And just, it's like one of those things, like I got started and it's like, I might as well just finish it and just keep going with it at some point. Until I simply can't do it.
And then hand it off to someone else. It's like, this is now your responsibility.
I don't know if anyone would want to.
Oh, no, I'm sure CAA could find mm-hmm. someone that would be interested. Mm-hmm. Nah, he chews that stuff up.
Yeah. I mean, he's great to talk about with that kind of stuff, too. Because, you know, one of the things that was really hard with that was Spartan Ops, because you know the start date and the end date, but like, how does it break down in between
for each of the
gets kind of tough. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Or chapters.
Yeah. Chapters, yeah. You know, okay. Well, what dates do these occur? You kind of know, okay, it occurs in this order, but where do they fall in the timeline other than, okay, it's, you know, this month of this year kind of a thing. And
so you just got to reach out to Grim and say, hey, Grim, I need some dates. Give me some numbers. Give me them digits.
I'm sure he has all the time in the world to do that right now, too. Yes.
Apparently, DJ just calls him up and just asks some questions.
Well, I mean, yeah, because that's DJ.
Yeah. That's incredible, though. So you're over 700 lines?
Yeah, it's over 700 lines right now. And,
dang.
As frustrating as it can get, at times I sit back and I look at it and I go, wow, I, you know, it's, you know, not to toot my own horn or anything, but it's something that takes a lot to do.
Oh, sure.
Keep up. There's this bit of pride saying, wow, I did this kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And, you know,
not going to lie. Every time you bring it up, I'm just like, he's still working on that. He like,
yeah, it's never ending.
No. As long as Halo keeps making more content, mm-hmm. it's, and then DJ's whole theory of portals leading to different like time events or something like that with Halo Infinite is like, have fun with that.
No, please. No, no time travel. I do not want time travel. I mean, time honestly, travel
just gets messy with some series.
Yeah.
Like I can understand like maybe having DLC for Infinite that might look at different time frames or different stories that they could tell. But yeah, to have a portal do time travel, like sometimes time travel is done well in like sci-fi shows and mm-hmm. whatnot, but it can very easily get gimmicky.
Oh yeah.
Very easily get gimmicky.
It's like the ultimate reset button. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, you've gone this far and you don't like Star Trek. Where we ended up. Yeah. Well, if just to show my age,
not thinking Star Trek 3. I'm thinking like the new Star Treks.
Oh no! The whole timey wimey thing. First time I ever came across that was the show Dallas when I was a kid. I haven't
even heard of that.
Yeah, any Godzilla would know it, but it was a show my mom loved to watch, and they had one entire season that was nothing more than a dream. I'm like, wait a minute. Did they just like do a time travel kind of reset thing here? And the answer to that was yes.
Just for a season or?
For the entire season, yeah. It's like, okay, everything that you thought happened didn't. These people who died didn't. Really? I think I was like 9 or 10 and I'm like, No.
just no.
Just stop. No.
Yeah.
But
interesting.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right. Is there anything else that you've been working on that you want to share with the community since the last time you've been on?
Other than the Halo Trivial Pursuit cards that I'm also trying to get done too.
What?
Halo Trivial Pursuit cards. This is...
Well, this is interesting.
I'm as bad as a dog. It's like, squirrel! And I'm off.
I am too, and I've got way too many things on my plate to actually take care of half of them.
So, obviously, the past year, because we've all been kind of locked away.
Yeah.
You know, I go through things like, yeah, let's do some cleanup of stuff we haven't done, you know, pull out board games you haven't played in a long time. And my wife is amazing at Trivial Pursuit, especially when you get into like the 80s and 90s edition.
I've never been good at Trivial Pursuit.
Well, I suck at it, but I can do
the science and math in like the video game versions, but I can't do sports. I can't do history. Arts is an iffy one for me.
But the other thing is if you look at it, there are still, like, Halo has a Risk version.
Yep, and a Monopoly, and a Bang.
And a Monopoly.
And Tag but, Deck, yeah.
But they never, but I'm like, there's no, and I mean, I have a Star Wars Trivial Pursuit deck. I'm utterly horrible at it, but, you know, I'm like, I wonder why they never did a Halo one. Oh, wait a minute. You know, you start thinking about it, it's like, okay, I've got this 700-line monstrosity, and so you have, at the time, there were 30 novels and all this other additional stuff, and you're just like...
So the new stuff is expansion packs.
Yeah. And so I started putting together this, you know, this whole thing of questions and different things, and it kind of snowballed. So I eventually, you know, just thinking about it, I think I got to, like, either 300 or 400 questions. And wow. Yeah. It's ridiculously long.
How many cards are normally in a Trivial Pursuit box?
I think it's 100. Because I think it kind of varies from different editions. But, you know, six.
That seems kind of like a low number.
Well, you have six categories. 100 questions of each, so...
Oh, of each category. Okay. That seems a little more... That makes a little more sense.
And, I mean, I broke it down to campaign questions that would be specifically for the campaigns, stuff for the extended fiction, gameplay stuff like skulls and achievements and things like that. I had one called the Dev Blog, which was... Questions like, okay, this X-Men actor played John 117 in the web series Halo 4 Forward Into Dawn. That kind of thing. Personnel specific questions specific about characters in the game. And then there was just one that was a general errata one, like, which Halo game is the only one where Sarah Palmer is a playable character? In the cutscene in Halo 3 Arrival, how many variants of Johnson's line starting with, they must love the smell of, are there when playing on Legendary?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. The answer to that is 5.
I was going to say 4.
Yeah, there's 5. And do you happen to know what Italian luxury brand he mentions in one of those lines?
No.
It's Bulgari.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is what I was doing at night after coming out of my office from working all day. I'd sit down on the couch and just start plugging away at this, and I'm like, it's like, oh, I'll get these questions done pretty easily. And then after the first like 50 in each one, in each category, you're like, wait a minute, damn, this is starting to get tough.
Yeah. The first few are like easy. It's like, okay, I can think of some good ones, but then you have to really start digging deep. And it's like, oh, I really need to figure out where to pull my next source material from.
And all of a sudden, you start realizing you're leaning heavily on one or two particular games or novels. And it's just like, okay, well, yeah, I guess I should crack open the Kilo 5 Trilogy AG and ask some questions about that, even though I really don't like it. That's me.
Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah,
the pair to that, the Forerunner Trilogy, way in the past. So that's at the beginning of your timeline.
Yes. So those are the three things that like project wise that I've been working on forever.
Very nice.
So yeah. At some point in time I hope to at least complete one of them. It'd be kind of nice.
I feel like the timeline thing will never be over, because as long as Halo keeps making more content, games and books and stuff, that'll keep going.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Trivial Pursuit, I guess you could probably get to a stopping point and then just have expansion packs for new stuff.
There's this little part of me that wonders at some point in time, you know, you go through all this and then all of a sudden you get like T343 is like, you can't make those because we're going to release something like that. Okay.
As long as you're not selling it and
no.
Like mass distributing it, then I think they really don't mind.
No, they wouldn't. They don't. I mean, it's one of those weird things you think of at 1 o'clock in the morning when you've been staring at a screen for too long, trying to pull questions or reading, you know, saying, okay, what page numbers are these again? And realizing that you should go to bed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some of the late night stuff that can happen.
Mm-hmm. I will say this much, though. It is those kind of things make me appreciate how deep Halo's lore is, really. And the history behind it, too. The number of people who've worked on it and big names and things like that. You know, it permeates my head so much that, like, I watch the Fast and the Furious movie. I see Michelle Rodriguez. All I can think of is the one clip from Halo 2 where she voiced one of the Marines.
Was that the one from the Metropolis Bridge?
Yep.
Yeah.
Metropolis, where Johnson drops off the tank.
Yep.
So
they just blast right through us. Rockets, 50 cal didn't do a thing. Probably one of the most memorable scenes of all the Halo cutscenes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, much any scene with Johnson, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson's just a trump card.
Oh yeah, I mean. He's just the one, he's like that one character that he's not the major character, but he has some of the best lines.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone loves him.
He's just funny enough to be not corny, but be memorable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is it. Hold me, baby.
Exactly. It's like, oh, you have to make it so endearing yet so funny at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, considering he was based off of Al Capone from Alien, so.
Yep. Which I was required to watch. I did. You're probably one of the few that's like, finally, he finally gets one of the major inspirations for a well-beloved Halo character. Any other movies that you want to add to the list that DJ and GT will inevitably throw at me?
Well, you watched Event Horizon, right? Did you see Event Horizon?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I seem to remember they bringing that up. I'm like, no, I watched that movie and I would never recommend it because I just didn't like it at all. But
it was definitely an interesting movie. Did not quite expect the ending.
No. I mean, the thing is for me, when it comes to movies, not to go too deep into tangent, is I movies for me, I'm just as eclectic as my music. I like, there's a lot of newer movies that I like that are just stupid fun. Like Speed Racer is a great movie because it's cast so well and it just matches the kind of cheesiness from the anime cartoon. It's great.
I've seen clips of the cartoon, but I haven't
actually, and
I forgot there was an actual Speed Racer movie.
Yeah. John Goodman as Pops is so brilliantly cast. Yeah, okay. So that's one. But then I could also tell you to go watch The Maltese Falcon with Humphrey Bogart. Because
you know when you say actor and actress names, most of the time I just have this blank stare because names I just don't associate well. For some
have you at least heard of the movie The Maltese Falcon?
No.
Have you at least heard of Casablanca?
Yes.
Okay. And
any other movies you want to quiz me on?
The Man with No Name trilogy from Sergei.
There's a trilogy? I've heard of The Man with No Name.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
I've seen that.
Fuller Dollars, a full few dollars more.
Oh, I didn't know that was a trilogy.
It's technically, it's not a true trilogy, as in one takes after another after another.
Okay.
It's just, it's kind of labeled as that because Clint Eastwood plays the same character in all three.
So it's kind of similar to the Cornetto trilogy. It's not really three back-to-back movies, but they're supposed to be kind of like in the same mythos.
Yeah.
In a way. Okay.
Gotcha. And then one last one, Silverado.
I've heard of it. Haven't seen it.
It's a Western, but it's brilliantly funny. So.
Very nice. All right. Well, let's get on to some of the updates that we have. Since GT's not here, we had Halo 5 for Fraggin' Friday last week. We did a little bit of Warzone. We did some customs. All in all, it was a pretty good night. I made it for maybe about an hour, hour and a half before I had to get off. But we had we actually had a couple of good Warzone games. Some good balanced ones. Yeah,
there were some really fun ones there, too.
I think there were one or two that we actually... We're like under, and then we actually came out on top, and there were some good matches actually for a change, because Warzone is one of those that I feel like most of the time you either get stomped or you just completely cream the other team, depending on how things go. But it was actually a well balanced night, it felt like.
Well, we didn't blow anybody out. We got blown out once or twice, but.
Yeah, I think the last Warzone game we played, we got creamed.
Yeah, but all in all, it was a fun night, and there's no doubt that it started off kind of rough as a game type, but it's still fun. It's still fun.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think it's hasn't quite aged well. It's still fun, but it definitely has run its course a little bit. I think it hasn't really. I don't think Warzone's really been the focus of any kind of balance changes after like the first year, so it really hasn't been addressed to that, I think, too much.
Right.
But for the most part, it's if you have a full squad, it's fun to play. If you don't have a full squad, it usually can be rough. Or nearly full squad, because there's times where we go in with maybe 8, 9, or 10, and we do pretty well. But
we find matches and pretty quick, too. Mm-hmm. For the most part. I think there are those long ones where you don't, but all in all. So.
Yeah. So we had a good time with Fraggin' Friday. I did not do Achieving Halo last week. Forget why. There's a reason I didn't do it. I don't specifically remember why. But we'll be back tomorrow with some more Fraggin' Friday. We'll have GT hosting that, and will be up to our community, depending on what we'll play. So if you want to hop in our Discord to choose if we're going to be playing Halo 5 or MCC, feel free to go ahead and do that. podtackler.com/Discord. We got some playlist updates to go over. We actually have a new set of playlist changes for the month of June that was just released in the community update from today. So coming up tomorrow from this recording, we have on May 13th, Halo CE Anniversary Throwback rotating in for Action Sack. And then we've also got Warzone Assault going live for the weekend. We have on the 20th, Castle Wars rotating in for CE Anniversary Throwback. Then on the 27th, we have Triple Team rotating in for Castle Wars. And then we have Warzone Turbo going live for the weekend. I don't need to say the thing, or do you need the
no? That's okay. Effect? That's okay.
Do you need the turbo effect?
Ow!
Now you understand GT's pain every week.
Yes,
or almost every week. I don't always do it. I try to limit it now because it's kind of run its course a little bit. But every now and then, I like to throw it in there.
That's okay. Bobby or Keys will go ahead and or Frogbats will go ahead and do that. Come Friday night when that's on anyway, so yeah.
Fair enough. And then for the month of June, we have the Summer 2021 Arena season beginning. For Halo, for the Ranked, we have Head-to-Head rotating in for Ranked Snipers for the month of June. And then we have Core Play rotating in for Triple Team. On June 10th, we have Covenant Slayer rotating in for Core Play. Warzone Assault going live for the weekend. On June 17th, we have ODST Slayer rotating in for Rock and Rail. Wait, did I, I skipped Rock and Rail.
You skipped one. June 17th
we have Rock and Rail. June 24th we have ODST Slayer, and then Warzone Turbo goes live again for the end of June. For the MCC, we've got Escalation Slayer joining in for the social mix, and Griffball is retired until next month. See ya, Griffball. I'm sure GJ probably got quite a bit of playtime out of you for this past week, and we'll see you again. On the company commendation front, we have 6 challenges that we're still going for on the Podtacular commendations to get that Achilles helmet. We're still inching away at the lucky commendation, which is Cluster Lux, Last Shot, Sayonara, and Fastball medals. We currently need another 132 of those. And then the one I tease every time, Keys, to get on task for doing, killing the driver of a moving vehicle, enemy vehicle with a sniper rifle. We've got another about 170 of those to get. Then we've got killing Spartans with grenades, killing Spartans with ground vehicles, killing Marines, and kills with shoulder bashes. 6 more to go. It's not too bad. We'll finish these before I get to 152. Which may be never. Who knows? We'll see. See how far that goes.
Not even if they need to do a quadruple XP weekend in a row. Multiple in a row. Well, I'll be able to do it. I just
need to turn on double XP for everything and then make the bonus ones quadruple XP or triple XP or something like that. I just don't have the time to play that much. Well, I mean, I guess I could make the time. I just choose to spend my time in other ways.
Yeah. I mean, the time where I would come down and game every night for like 3-4 hours is long gone. Yeah. Now it's usually Friday, Saturday, and maybe Sunday morning.
Pretty much. Yep. Yeah, for me, it's Fridays, maybe sometimes Saturdays and Sundays for the most part. Before COVID happened, sometimes I would hop on other weekdays. But ever since then, being from home, it's pretty much just been weekends to play. On the MCC development and flight updates, we've got a couple of things coming down the pipe for MCC. An update to quit bans as far as timeouts go. So for your first offense, you'll get 5 minutes. Second offense, 15 minutes. Third offense, 30 minutes. Fourth offense, 60 minutes. Fifth offense, 180 minutes. And sixth offense, 16 hours. I wonder what happens after 6.
I wonder if it's like a semi-perm ban. Because, you know, that the fact that you would...
Well, you just can't play matchmaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's bans for quitting and AFKing.
Well, if you do that often enough, you probably should be semi-permanent. Have an extremely long ban, because it's like, okay, either your internet is just that bad, or you have something else going on, and you probably shouldn't be on gaming anyway.
Well, it sucks because first offense now is 5 minutes, and I think it was 1 minute before, and we've had times where someone was in a matchmaking game and they're waiting for us to finish, and then they hop on over, and then we have to wait a minute before we can hop into matchmaking. Or it happens very often with Xbox servers where someone lags out of the game, and then we're out of the game, and we have to wait for them to be unbanned because they lagged out of another game 15 minutes ago, and that counts as their second one, so now it's a 5-minute ban.
Yeah.
So, like, I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to deter some of the negative behavior. But at the same time, like, legitimate disconnects getting hit with this stuff when they can't tell. Like, I get technically why they can't tell, but at the same time, it kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's... there's any number of technical reasons that can happen. And, or beyond just someone having to step away. And, I mean, it'd be ideal if there was a way to be able to tell that, but, you know, unless you're going to do it as, if it's a technical reason, it actually generates a technical error code that can be filtered and say, okay, no, this won't count. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Short of somebody hitting X and leaving the match, which is totally different, but.
Yeah. And like, if you're going through the whole think of unplugging your internet from your console to quit the game instead of actually like quitting, then that's That's one thing. Like, I would say, like, if you get disconnected once, like, first offense, five minutes seems a little much. The 1 minute thing seemed maybe a little bit better. But, because, like, once will happen to anybody, whether it's an internet right. blip or you're disconnected from the server. Like, that happens more often than people think. And to have 5 minutes for your first offense seems a little egregious to me. But the community will have feedback and we'll probably see changes to this, because this isn't the first time that the whole quit ban timeout has been changed. Probably won't right. be the last either. Yep. So we've got that. They address what the next steps are for the custom game browser after the test they did a couple of weeks ago. So overall, seems like people were pretty happy with some of the things that were going on. Some of the top feedback that they got centered around the ability to actually search for specific games and modes that players want to look for. A lot more detail behind what the session is. So more clarity in if a game is allows join in progress or if there's a queue type of thing associated with it. Some more session details. So a little more akin to what you get maybe in a more traditional PC server browser type thing. And then just more controls as a custom game lobby host. And there's a lot more details in the forums if you guys want to go check that out. We've also got some Flight Season 7 stuff coming down pretty soon here. Key area focuses are going to be improvement for the visuals for Halo CE to better mirror Legacy. Improvements to the maps Waterfall and Edge. 7th season customization content, and of course, various bug fixes, which is pretty common standard. For the last two. Yeah, pretty standard stuff. So that's what we've got coming down for the MCC Dev and Flight update. So again, if you want to be part of the Season 7 Flighting, make sure your Halo Insider profile is up to date. We've got the latest employee spotlight, Irene Zhu. Is a UX designer for Halo Infinite. So you'll see a lot of her stuff obviously come up in Halo Infinite. So if you want to read more about who she is and what she does, then head on over to 343industries.com and read up on her employee spotlight. We've got another cannon fodder issue. Do you document these in your little calendar list as well?
I really don't.
So any little history tidbits? Well, there's some history tidbits sometimes.
Like sometimes I'll go through it and see if there's something that's a specific date or whatnot and add it in there. But for the most part, because a lot of these are kind of background, I read them for information and see if there's something there. But for the most part, I don't throw them into a timeline. I don't need to add anything. I don't need to go searching like that to find something to add, but and Graham does a great job with these, and it's always really interesting. Plus, I'll admit, I'm still waiting for the next little nugget like they did when they dropped the missing pages from Halsey's journal.
I still need to go back and find those to archive them. I'm sure. Well, I know Halopedia has them. Yeah, Halopedia has them. I don't even need to bother, really. Never mind. Yeah. So we got a few concepts in here, and the community kind of blew up about some of the concepts in here.
Yeah.
We've got a concept for a brute chieftain called Hyperius, and then another, I don't know if this would be more of a chieftain or maybe some other kind of ranking brute, but Tovarus.
Yeah.
So two possible characters for Infinite.
Yeah. I remember getting into discussion on Twitter about that, because with Hyperius, and they're talking about, oh, that's Locke's helmet and his front armor plate. And I'm like, okay, Locke wears a modified Hunter Mjolnir armor. Now, again, that was a prototype, and it was Gen. I think it was a Gen. No, it was Gen 2 or Gen 3, but either way, it was a prototype. So it's like, enough times passed that you know, they could have picked that up on a raid or whatnot, and people immediately said, oh, Locke's dead or badly hurt. I'm like, it's a concept piece, people, and anyone Spartan could have that helmet.
Yeah, or that chest piece. That's reading into things probably a little too much.
And yet no one freaked out about the Spartan, the fingers that are around his neck.
Oh, those are supposed to be fingers? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they look like they're... And then also on his...
I mean, I guess I can see it, but... Huh. Yeah,
and then on his right leg, that piece there, there are some people saying that looks like it's something from the Arbiter's armor.
Yeah, an elite piece of armor. I could see that. Yeah. Gotta be careful with the speculation, folks. Just gonna say that.
I mean, it's understandable. People are really want news. They really want something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get it. But at the same time, it's like, okay, let's take a step back. Let's actually think through if this is actually something or not. Because
exactly.
It isn't always. But yeah.
But still, I mean, from a concept piece, that's a pretty brutal looking brute.
Mm-hmm. And it does a really good job at showing just the scavenger nature of it, where he has the one Locke lookalike helmet on his left shoulder, and like you were saying, what looks like might be a piece of the Arbiter's garb helmet, the Spartan fingers. So yeah, there's definitely lots of pieces in here that looks like is probably just scrapped together and put together.
It's kind of an interesting counterpoint to the Tavaris one, which actually has some pretty clean lines on it.
Mm-hmm.
Looks very put together. So it
looks a lot more Sangheili influenced for that set of armor.
Yeah.
Than any of the traditional brute or anything else. And then we've got a scrap cannon concept, which looks like a spike gun on a turret of some kind. The nickname was the Gatling Mortar, according to Grim in the Post.
Yeah, the idea of a Gatling Mortar, that's going to hurt going up against it.
Thunk, 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 thunk.
Pretty much.
It's like brute shot on steroids.
Ow.
Except they don't bounce. It just impales you. We got a concept of the Razorback Warthog.
That's pretty cool.
Looks like a Cybertruck.
Yeah.
Looks like a V2 Cybertruck.
But it does look pretty neat.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, there's a concept of something will probably change on it, but it does look pretty cool.
Looks like a freaking tank.
Mm-hmm.
That armor plating just looks... Now, it looks more like a Humvee.
Yeah.
With all the armor on it than... Because the Warthogs feels more like a Jeep, where this actually looks like a military vehicle, almost.
Yeah.
At least that's the perception I get of it.
Well, the Warthogs in Halo have always... And again, this is showing my age. There's a TV show a long, long time ago called The Rat Patrol, which was set during World War II and about... had a group of four that were in two Wiley Jeeps, and their armament were 50 caliber machine guns. So,
okay,
the original Warthogs reminded me so much of that.
I wonder if that there's influence there.
Maybe.
Possibly.
I mean,
Be interesting to get an idea of different pieces of stuff in the Halo games and where they came from. Like, we obviously know where, like, the Johnson character came from.
Oh, yeah.
And the elite design.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, kind of just digging into more aspects of the game is like, okay, where was this influence from? Where was this influence from?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of it's just interesting. So,
next part in here is a lot of just reviews and analyses of Point of Light, which still need to get to. 4 books behind, working on it. and then we've got some other content creators doing some canonical stuff. Installation 00 has his new Halo Mythos series. Dark Horse is re-releasing the Halo graphic novel. So if you weren't able to get your hands on it the first time around, it's being re-released for a new edition. I've pre-ordered it on Amazon already.
I have the original. I'm like, although I'll admit, knowing my luck, there will probably be something new in there. But it did make me want to pull it back out just to read the Voyage of the Infinite Sucker again, because that was so good.
Voyage of the Infinite Sucker.
Yeah, was that what it's called? Yeah, essentially it follows Half-Jaw from Halo 2.
Oh.
And essentially how he became Half-Jaw.
Oh, that's interesting.
You haven't read that story?
No, I don't think I have the graphic novel.
I mean, there was one of the other stories is Hal Johnson escaped Blood.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which I think I've actually heard of before, but I haven't actually read the story. Yeah, I have some of the other early comic books. I don't think I've ever managed to get my hands on the graphic novel.
And then, what's it called? Field Test?
The official Spartan Field Manual?
No. One of the stories in there is Maria 062 testing Chief's Mjolnir before it went up to him. Just before Halo 2.
I think I've heard of that story, too. So I've heard of all these stories, I've just never read these stories.
Yeah, the graphic novel was really, really good, and if I remember right, I think that was published by Marvel at the time of release, I think.
Wouldn't surprise me, because I think some of the other earlier comics were originally Marvel as well.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't surprise me, but again, I don't know specifically.
Yeah, actually, the original was published by Marvel Comics. It has Last Voyage of the Infinite Sucker, which is the one which talks of Artas Vadem?
Yeah, Artas Vadem. Yep.
Artas Vadem.
Half-Jaw.
Armor testing, which is the story of Maria 062, who was testing the Chief's armor before it went up to him, which, as someone pointed out to me, explained some of the damage that is on that armor.
In the game?
Yeah. The armor is not pristine. It looks a little dinged up. Breaking Quarantine, which is Johnson story, and then Second Sunrise Over New Mombasa, which actually
features that one too.
Yeah, that one features it's the first time we see Benjamin Droh.
Are these only in the graphic novels, or were these also like written up in like Tales from Slipspace or...
No, these were only...
They're unique...
In the graphics novels. Now, they've been around for so long.
Maybe I've just heard about them.
Probably.
Okay. Because I feel like I know, like, spattering of details for some of these stories, but I don't know it end to end.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. So, that's available at multiple locations. I've got my copy on pre-order at Amazon, so... Feel free to go out there and grab it if you weren't able to get it the first time around, and should be a good read to add to the list.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the. I mean, considering how early it was in Halo's development when they were put out, it kind of helped form some of the foundations of the Halo lore moving forward, because it went into some of the stories of some of the background of characters that we saw in game. So,
got it. Yeah, I'll have to add that to the list. The never ending list.
As long as they keep putting out novels and things like that, that list will continue to grow.
I'm hoping to catch up on this list before Infinite rolls out. That's my goal, to get all the books read up, except maybe before the one coming out in October. But all the other books, get read up on all those before Infinite comes out. That's my goal. That's my goal. There's some other videos on here. A couple of people did some videos on the importance of the Halo graphic novel. And then there's a little appreciation post that he has regarding some Mega Construct stuff, showing off some new sets there. So that's it for the community update that we've got. Not too much stuff, that was the Cannon Fodder. That wasn't the community update. That was the Cannon Fodder. Always nice to see Jeff kind of come in, drop a little lore bomb, and go from there.
Yep. Although you in the community update, there was the entry of the Halo gear for Xbox's 20th anniversary.
Yes, we're just about to get to that. With the community update, and then there was a whole bunch of posts around Xbox turning 20 years old. They're kicking off their celebration early. They have a whole bunch of merch out there as well. There's some 20 gold with what kind of looks like the Master Chief from the silhouette from the official Spartan field manual.
Yeah.
Looks like kind of the same silhouette, but
the t-shirts, if you're looking for a triple X, are all sold out already.
That's not surprising. But yeah, there's a mug, there's a thermos, there's a little pillow case, a hat, and a shirt. If you want to get the Halo 20th anniversary gear. Not my particular taste in stuff, so I'll probably pass on it for me personally, but I know there's going to be several people out there that will try to grab those as soon as they can.
I need to get rid of coffee mugs. I don't need to be buying anymore.
So I have my collector's items, which is all the Halo stuff, and then my wife's collector's items is coffee mugs.
Oh,
so we have a whole, what's supposed to be like China cabinet, full of coffee mugs. And granted, I have a couple of mugs in there too, so like she's not only one collecting mugs, but for the most part, that's her collection stuff is coffee mugs and pretty much anything Disney, and then I have all my Halo stuff. So I justify my Halo purchases, and she gets mugs.
Like, I don't do anything else, so what do? I buy Halo stuff.
There you go.
And, yeah.
Yep. Halo stuff and then tech gear.
Yeah.
Because we're tech nerds. And that is not a cheap hobby.
No.
an expensive thing. Hobby.
You said, I will say this much. If there's something Halo that I want and something techie that I want, I will more than likely get the Halo thing if I ask for it for like Christmas or my birthday rather than the tech thing. I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's the Halo stuff's a little more easy to probably buy for. Because at least it's an interest where like all the tech stuff is like, okay, I need this for a very specific purpose. And it needs to be this specific thing or something very closely related to it.
That is why you provide the Amazon link. And people ask for guests, just click this link. You'll be fine.
Here's my wish list if you want to buy me something. All the stuff on there is pretty expensive, so just fair warning. Well, the cheapest thing is probably $250. If you want something cheap, buy me a gift card.
Amazon gift cards, they're as good as cash.
At this point, pretty much.
Yep.
Also in the community update, we've got a nice little 20-year piece of artwork that looks very akin to maybe Pixel Flare stuff. Maybe not quite. Maybe some influence from Pixel Flare, but it's kind of a look of classic Halo CE on one side and then the Halo Infinite stuff coming on the other side.
Yeah, that's really nice though.
That's a really nice piece. I kind of wish there was a version without the 20-year logo right in the bottom middle, just to have a clean version of it. But it's still nice.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of I can't remember when there was a piece of artwork that it was the 15-year one that had like all the characters lined up.
Yeah,
Chief, Halsey, and everything like that.
Gosh, it didn't seem like that long ago either.
I know.
Wow.
That's actually the background on this the computer that I'm calling from that's the background I have on there. It's also on my computer upstairs, but that one I think was really well done. I think this is really well done too. So.
And thank you, Keys. This was not done by Pixel Flare. This was done by David Hydoff. Because it's like not quite Pixel Flare, but it has a few kind of aspects of it that might be influenced by him or maybe touched up or something like that.
Digital. I mean, it has a digital feel to it.
But no, David Hydoff is the person behind this. If you see a flare, you know it's Pixel Flare. That's actually kind of funny. That's good, Keys. I like it. So definitely check out the artwork. It's really, really nice. Really well done. download it, make it your phone background, make it your laptop, desktop background. It's all, there's all the different formats there for you, whatever you want to make it as a background for. We've got, let's see, anything new down here? Yeah, we've got Cliptrocity making a return for HCS stuff. So if you want to, your chance at grabbing one of the Cliptrocity nameplates, then get those clips up and going, get them sent in, and maybe you'll nab yourself one of the Cliptrocity nameplates. There's a grassroots big team battle play date night, ladies night, with several prominent Halo female streamers. This is taking place tomorrow from 5 to 7 Pacific time, 8 to 10 Eastern time, so right in the middle of our Fragging Friday. So by the time you're listening to this, it's probably already come and gone. But they're giving away some nameplates for those that match up and play with them.
Although, you never know. Maybe if MCC wins
and we match up with them on TBTB, we might match up with them on BTB. It's very possible.
Probably get our butts handed to us, but yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. But yes, we will probably get our butts handed to us. And that's okay.
Yeah, it happens.
We've got SWAT Nations Halo Forever coming up on Wednesday, May 19th from 4 to 6 Pacific time. And this is going to be a Halo 4 SWAT event. And then we've got Europa Halo May Big Team Battle. This is happening on Tuesday, May 18th. Ubernick's going to be taking a part in that, along with Echidna, Gaskin, Spiteful, Jumbo, Wonderboy, Shirzy, and Sims. So quite a few familiar names in that list. There's a couple other tournaments going on as well. Oh, we got a raid from Hayden. What's up, Hayden? Thanks for coming on over. Thanks for bringing us in. And hey, Ikibu, no worries. I see you in there. Not a problem at all. We've got pretty much just recaps of everything else. And then at the very bottom, we have a nice little piece of art from Mythos. So nab your art for the month.
That's a nice looking piece, too.
Uh-huh. I wonder which... So this is concept sketch of the betrayal on Talista from Mythos. Have I read that? I don't know if I've read that specific story out of Mythos yet. I don't think I've read all three anthology books yet. I've read bits and pieces out of each one, but I haven't read stories from the whole book for each one of them yet.
Yeah.
I have them in my checklist.
Well, Mythos is definitely worth a review and read. It's really well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. Certainly. And then for our Fiction Friday post that we got from the Halo Twitter account last week, the Covenant Destroyer is a vessel intended specifically for pursuit and attack, although it can and has been used in lieu of cruisers and carriers for occupant purposes. And then the Jazzwares stop motion animation. More shots mentioned to us last week that it was out on some other social media. It's out on YouTube now, so all three episodes of the Jazzwares live action is up on the Halo YouTube. If you want to go check them out there. A little bit shorter podcast tonight. We will have DJ and Rage More Nerd on next week for their second draft of the DreamHack Griffball tournaments. I believe the next one that they're doing is Halo 3. So the first one was Halo 4. I think this next one's going to be Halo 3.
Yeah, I think that's what I remember DJ saying that, yeah.
And then they'll do Reach. And I forget where Halo 5 falls into that, if it does. No. Sorry. They're doing 3, then Reach, and then it's Community Choice for the last one, if I remember correctly. We'll confirm that next week when we have them on the show.
I remember I caught DJ on one of his streams, and I asked him, you know, if there was any chance that Goose might come on and do a guest cast.
That'd be cool, you know, if she
that
did.
It'd be kind of neat. That would be neat to have her back.
It could happen. It could happen.
Yeah.
It certainly could happen. So a burning question for you before we wrap things up. What is it like to be the nearly sole funding provider of Podtacular?
My name's Penz Halo, and I have a sub problem.
between donations that you've made in the past for like ages ago to being the longest sub that we've had on Twitch over 5 years to being the highest gift subber and to being a Patreon as well. What is it like basically owning Podtacular financially?
No, but all joking aside.
Yeah, like you go way above and beyond to basically cover pretty much the bills for all the stuff that we do.
I tend to go to extremes at times when I find something that I like, and probably from day one, I was hooked. I thought, you know, as someone
the young raspy voices wasn't enough to deter you from way back when it was.
Well,
23-year-old me hosting the podcast.
The thing is that, I mean, I never had a big tie-in with, like, Star Wars, even though I'm of the age of most people who are, like, massive Star Wars fans. I never was that. But Halo became my Star Wars. I mean, kind of was my entry point into Xbox when I first started
picking it up. Probably for most people.
Yeah, although
except for me. Well, mine was on PC.
I actually played Halo CE on PC when it came out because I was a PC gamer. I mainly played flight sims, but I really enjoyed Halo CE. I probably would have gotten into it more if the simple fact that Microsoft wouldn't have tried to make Halo 2 the reason to buy Halo reason to purchase Microsoft Vista, which is the second worst operating system Microsoft has ever developed.
Yeah. It was nice when Windows 7 came around. It's like, okay.
And for those of you curious, Windows Millennium Edition is the worst operating system Microsoft has ever created. So
it has quirks.
Yes. But just before Reach came out, when my PC died and I didn't feel like spending a ton of money on that, I ended up getting an Xbox and bought all the games again and really got back into Halo. And like I said, I was on Halo Waypoint, and on the front page talked about this podcast called Podtacular. I'm like, okay, sure, let me check it out. And it was you and Brent. I think it was someplace in the 200s. And
sounds about right.
Started hanging out there. I remember this was also before I was really deep into the social media part of it. So I remember the following week being on with Alice Pieces in chat. Because neither one of us realized that there was no podcast that night. So we just spent an hour shooting the crap in the Twitch chat. You know, I met...
Gosh, my memory doesn't even go back that far.
Yeah. I remember you had Halo Fan for Life Sal on, who's from Pittsburgh. Got to meet him. He's a friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's become a friend of mine. Just, there's a lot of good memories with Podtacular and...
Yeah.
And Halo, so I guess it's, you know, I figure you guys have all put your time in, which is actually a lot more valuable than any amount of money. So, I mean, and like I said, I don't do much, so it's like, okay, I'll support something that I want to support and kind of go from there.
Well, we certainly appreciate it, and it's always a nice little surprise whenever there's like a 10 gift sub bomb for whenever we have a special guest on. Not to say that you're not special, because you're probably one of the more special ones that we have the privilege of having on because of just all this. Like, you're probably the longest supporting community member that we have that's like around on a consistent basis. And that is here in the live streams, that's here for our game nights and participates in the Discord. And if we ever have a new idea, you're always there to support us with that as well. So yeah, like there's obviously going to be all the popular Halo people that we can get on, but from the perspective of like those that really make an influence and a difference to what we do here on the podcast, you're definitely at the top of the list. With regards to anyone that's in the Podtacular community. For that, we thank you very much for all the support.
No, you're welcome, and thank you. I will also say that just in a roundabout way, I think I've mentioned in the past that I've been on I also work with a community called Focus Fire Chat. It's primarily a Destiny podcast, but they do Jay, BlueCrew86. He's also a huge Halo fan. So I've been on there talking about Halo, different things, Halsey's Journal.
Preaching the Halo gospel.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, and things like that. And I would have never been in the position to do that kind of stuff if I would have gotten involved in the Halo community with you guys. So it's, I think back at it and I'm like, okay, who would have thought that, okay, let's check this out or get this and we'll play this game would have led me to where I'm at today. And, it's interesting to think back. And I mean, I know I've mentioned this before, but I still remember the night that you shanghaied Godzilla and I to be on because you were the only one on and you didn't want to do it solo.
And I don't even remember that night.
Again, it was someplace in the 200s.
It doesn't surprise me because back then when we were just trying to figure out, okay, what the heck are we doing and trying to figure out a rhythm, it was just pretty much who can we get on, who wants to talk Halo, and let's just talk about stuff. Like, I'm scared to go back and listen to some of the podcasts between like the 200s to 500s because there are some very, how do we put it, very amateur podcasting, wouldn't necessarily call them mistakes, but lessons learned through that time.
Well, you were still kind of finding your way. What episode did you pick Podtacular back up on again? I can't remember.
162.
Okay. Yeah. So
162 is my very first. Well, so I was guest on 130 something, I think. And then Fumo and JVB's last podcast was 158. And then there were three episodes that were kind of like Pod TV-ish ones. And then I approached Fumo and picked up the podcast then.
So you were in your first, in the first segment, just trying to get settled in. So that's understandable.
Yeah, still pretty early. Saints Testimony was 498. That was August 7th.
Oh, God.
Of 2015.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that's a while ago. 2015, 6 years ago.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Feel old yet?
Yes.
Trying to find the very first one you were on. Unfortunately, when I search for pens, it kind of searches for a lot of different results.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know if Godzilla's still in the chat. He might remember the one, but I believe it was sometime in the 200s. Like I said, it just sticks with me because it was the first time someone said, wait a minute, why don't you, you know, go get your headset and hop on. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you want to be on the podcast? Come on over. Help us out here.
Okay, sure. Why not? Remember having to get Skype set up because I had never used Skype before.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks that are still very resistant to Skype, but right now, it's one of the only things that really gets us the ability to do what we're doing here with. Oh, that's a good idea, GT. Searching for you.
That'd probably be better.
I'll keep looking as we go through things. But there's definitely a lot of things I've learned over the years from trying to get just better at doing the podcast, being able to speak clearly and enunciate and just not having the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the brashness or abrasiveness of being just a young person behind a microphone who has no idea what they're doing.
Well, and then what was it? Was it the 500th when at RTX when you actually were on a pod, you were on with Goose and I can't remember who else it was, but you, it might've been one of the Drunken Halo guys, but like the basics for starting a podcast? Was that?
That was a separate panel. That wasn't 500. That was a separate panel that I did. But okay. We did do a, like, Art of Pod. It was the Art of Podcasting. Art of
Podcasting. Yep.
Yes. Yeah, we did have one of those. Actually, I did that twice at RTX. And we had Goose on the second one along with Justin from Drunken Halo. And there was someone else that we had on as well. Don't remember who.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But yeah, looking it up, we've got GT. The first one I have you on is 407, but I don't see pins on here, or at least not in the description. So there's probably another one where both of y'all were on, but 407 yeah. looks like, oh, 405 was the first one you were on. Wait, so it's in the description of 407 that you're on 405, but I don't have it listed in 405. What the heck? What was I doing back then? I have no idea. So 405. Let's look at 405.
It was 300 plus episodes ago. I think we can forgive you there.
Yeah. Maybe it was 405. I don't know.
Yeah, I know it was both GT and I were on it. Because that was actually the first time I met GT, too. So
I must have been 405, which was January 19th, 2014. Does that ring a bell at all?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Sounds,
maybe.
Sounds kind of right.
Ish.
Considering at that point in time, I'd been around for 100 plus episodes. Yeah, I'd been a part of it, or been in chat for more than 100 episodes. So, yeah.
So maybe we're onto something. We're not entirely sure, but maybe we're onto something. Who knows at this point? I have to go back through some of the old podcasts and see if I can look at the... Because at least I have the artist tags in the actual MP3 file, so I might have to just look into that later. But anyways, so yeah, you're our longest pretty much supporting member of the community, and we're so thankful to have you here, being able to support us and just be an ongoing member of the community. It's always fun to play with you. It's always fun to see the different ways that you are engaging with the Halo community, like with your timeline effort. And now the Trivial Pursuit thing, that sounds pretty interesting as well. I know there's several different folks out there trying to make games. Like there's a group that's trying to make a Halo tabletop game. There's one that's trying to do like a D&D rule set kind of within the Halo universe. So there's plenty of folks out there trying to do that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah.
So the Trivial Pursuit stuff will be interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, especially trying to do layout work, which when I'm not, I have no skill for layout.
Photoshop helps with that.
Mail merges and trying to make templates and all this other stuff.
Oh, you're trying to do it the Microsoft route. Yeah.
Well, I'm using the tools that I have available to me and having my wife help me.
Publisher might she's be, really good. Might be easier to work with a little bit. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, if you can, the difficult part is,
or that you can use VBScript.
No.
Oh, come on! All the Halo Outpost Game Show stuff, all powered by VBScript. All of it.
Maybe macros inside of Excel. I have some experience with those, but
I mean, macros is basically VBScript.
The funny thing is the Trivial Pursuit cards are a non-standard size, so you have to make.
Well, no, the shapes are non-standard, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a non-standard, like, it's not business cards. They're bigger than business cards, but they're smaller than index cards. So you kind of, there's no word template. So you have to create the word template for it, which I did. And then, you know, the little circles with the words, the symbols in them for the different categories and all that other stuff. It's
publisher might have been an easier route for some of that. Maybe. I don't know.
I honestly, though, because I did all the questions in Excel, using that for a mail merge actually made it easier.
Yeah, I could see that.
So other than trying to figure out font sizes and spacing and all that other happy stuff.
Shrink text to fit. And then you probably get some weird artifacting there as well.
Oh, all of a sudden you put it in and you realize that, wait a minute, I'm only seeing five questions because two of these are like three lines and I have to try to shrink the questions down to get them down to two. And it's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's fun.
I do hope that I can at least get them... I'd like to get it done before Infinite comes out and... spend the money out. I have thoughts on making a custom like card holder for these and the question is do I want to find a Halo artist who's willing to do some kind of concept art, or do I just slap the Halo logo on it, you know, and go from there?
I'd be surprised if you couldn't find somebody that would be interested in doing something like this.
The problem is I don't know what I'd want on it. That's kind of the hard part, honestly. I mean, I
just put the ONI logo on the back. The classification of knowledge.
As long as Margaret Perangoski ain't anywhere near it, fine.
I'm sure she's the answer to one of your questions.
The question is not safe for podcast question, because there's too many swear words that came up whenever I was trying to write this down.
So this is not going to be a family friendly edition of Trivial Pursuit.
No, it pretty much will. It's just if there's any one character in the Halo universe that has a tendency to make my teeth go on edge, it's her.
I think she's specifically kind of written that way.
Well, I love Karen Travis is a great author, and her story Human Weakness in Halo Evolutions is great. It's just that and the Kilo 5 trilogy is actually well written. It's just the way she represented some of those characters, just I just can't.
Yeah, I've heard people
is
rubs the wrong way.
I don't like him at all. I don't like Perangoski. It just
I definitely get it. It's it's one of those rough ones that the community has a love hate relationship with the Kilo 5 trilogy stuff. And I mean, Perangoski is written to be a character that you, well, maybe most people would like despise or not really look up to. But for me, I think she's a well-written character.
Yes. It's kind of like in all the games that I've played and all the like fantasy novels and things like that, Halo has some of the best well-developed characters, even if you dislike them. Halsey, to me, is still one of the most interesting and best characters I've come across, period, end of story. She's not a good character. I will never say she's a good character. or a good person. I would never say she's a good person. But she's an amazing character. There's a lot of depth and nuance there. So.
Yeah. I mean, for someone to say that they don't like a character doesn't necessarily mean that they're a bad character with like from the way that they're portrayed. It's just that they're portrayed to be a character to be disliked, and that's their intention.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that they're so what's another word to use there? Because it's like you're saying they're a good character because they're written well, but they're a bad character because
they're a well-written antagonist.
There we go.
Well-written
antagonist.
Yeah. And there's another phrase too. It's not an antagonist. I can't think of what it is, but there's another phrase, but antagonist is probably going to be the best one that I can think of right now, even though I know it doesn't fit Halsey the way it is, the way it should. But yeah, Halsey's just an amazingly well-written character. So
well-written by Will Wheaton. Nice, Bobby. Yes, a well-written antagonist.
Yes.
That's the way to put it. Cool. Well, thank you, Pens, for being on, and it's been a while to have you on, but you're definitely probably one of the more deserved folks to be on here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, certainly. It's been fun to catch up and hear about your escapades within Halo, and we get to see you every week here in the chat stream or the stream chat, and every Friday we get to see you as well, so... If you guys want to catch Pins, he's he's pretty much on wherever we're on stream, and you want to drop your socials and other places you pop up on the internet?
Pretty much it's going to be Pens_Halo on Twitter.
I love the Twitter.
Yeah. Follow me at your own peril, because you will probably get flooded with a lot of corgi and wolves. I will warn you right now. Yeah. Also, I do at times stream on Twitch. Yep,
those legendary runs on Halo.
Ooh. Well, hey, I completed it. I mean, honestly, not that I need something else to do. Yes, I've been contemplating doing a chronological mission run through Halo. So, starting with Halo Wars, like we discussed earlier, here with the timeline. Yeah. Halo Wars, Halo Reach, CE.
That'd be kind of fun.
I probably would not do it on Legendary, especially the RTSs, because I suck at RTSs.
But normal would be fine.
Yeah, I mean, although, honestly, once I got into the first persons, I'd probably kick it back up to Legendary, only because I'm a masochist that way. Especially on Halo 2. Because Jackal snipers are the devil.
How long did it take you to finish Halo 2 on Legendary?
Wasn't it like
3 or 4 months?
It was pain. Well, yeah. Mainly because now.
But I mean, you had some other stuff in between play sessions come up.
It was on Metropolis. I know the speedrun trick to bypass all the Jackal snipers there. But I can't, the mission name is escaping me right now, but it's the one
outskirts
just before you, where you get on the gondolas.
Oh, Delta Halo.
Yeah, Delta Halo. That I was stuck for, I think, a couple of days because all the Jackal snipers there on Legendary are evil. I mean, I don't know who programmed the Jackal snipers in Halo 2. I don't know if I want to shake their hand and kick them dead in the junk. Seriously.
Nightmare fuel. Jackal snipers is nightmare fuel.
And I am not the only person who thinks this.
No.
The first time I played Halo 2, and it wasn't on Legendary, it was on Heroic. And I just followed along on Metropolis and got into that alleyway. And they just ate my lunch.
It's like, dunk, dunk. And like on Legendary, they don't even wait. It's like once you're in range, they just turn and snap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never a miss. It's always at least a body shot, if not a headshot.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, that Metropolis is the reason I learned the speedrunning tricks. Because it was like, I want to bypass these people because no.
Keys is considering a laser run of all the games before Infinite.
May goodness and kindness follow you, sir.
I mean, I plan to do Lazo for the achievements. Before Infinite, though? No.
Scared to start.
Probably not.
Well, Halo 2 Lazo, yeah, you're a better man than I, Gunga Din, because no, I'm not doing that.
You have to heavily rely on the Black Ice Skull. Like, there's times where actually Black Ice Skull saves you more than not, because it's instant health regeneration instead of you waiting for, like, shields to come up, so. Like even though like you have to punch to get your health and shields back, sometimes it actually helps you out than hurts you. Sometimes.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you can find, there's a number of grunts that you could probably do and you get that back. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like if you're getting hit by an elite, you just punch them right back and you start getting your shield back. So it's like, there's just little oddities like that if you know how to manipulate the things that are supposed to hinder you, sometimes you can actually get them to help you.
Yeah. I will say
things like blind suck. So I'm glad that Lazo doesn't include blind skull. Yeah.
Wasn't blind skull part of like mythic or something?
It is. So yeah, the difference between Lazo and, well, traditional Lazo had blind skull on it.
Oh, it did?
It did, yes. Mythic difficulty is, well, no, so I guess nowadays mythic difficulty is with the blind skull, but also not doing the pause save game and restart the checkpoint.
Yeah,
because we had Joker, Silver, and Mythic Tyrant on, and we talked about the difference between Lazo and Mythic.
That's right. I do
go check out that podcast from earlier in the year if you're interested in that. But yeah, traditionally, Lazo included Blind Skull. And thankfully for MCC Lazo, it does not include Blind Skull. Don't need that additional handicap. Because it's a pain. It's a royal pain in the butt.
Yeah, I give tons of props to anyone who can do Lazo runs. I just, you know, as much as I love Halo, I suck at playing. Anyone who's actually been with me on a Fraggin' Friday and watched me play, I suck. I know.
But hey, you don't have to be a good Halo player in order to enjoy Halo, and that's one of the joys of being able to be just ingrained in the story and be a part of the community, because you could be the worst Halo player and still enjoy Halo. You could be the best Halo player and still enjoy Halo. There's so many different facets to what Halo is that there's always room for everybody.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. But yeah, so I mean, Halo's a game that when you're able to get that one trick or that one thing, when you nail it, it's really satisfying. The on Halo CE, the bypass on not on assault on the control room. The mission's names are escaping me right now. The one where you essentially you come across the bridge, you jump off the side, and
yeah, that's assault on the control room.
Is it okay? Yeah. Yep. So where you can essentially despawn everybody.
Yep.
That took me over a week.
Like, I haven't nailed a few down hours, that
one. And but when I did. Oh, that was so amazing. It felt so good. It really did.
I bet. Yeah, that one's rough. I've managed to get the first drop a handful of times, but I can't get it consistently.
Yeah. It's
or the second drop. The first drop's easy. The second drop is hard, and then the third drop is hard as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's that first, like the first drop actually, like where you come off the bridge, that actually wasn't too bad. I got that pretty well. It's that knowing where to drop, like when, because you have to kind of have to go up the incline and knowing where to drop and then how to keep the stick held. So when you actually hit, you are pushing yourself towards the wall instead of away and then crashing into the rocks below.
Yep. I think someone recently found another way to get down without having necessarily do the wall drop, and you could still despawn enemies. I thought someone found a new way recently. I mean, the wall drop one's a classic, but I thought someone found another way.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. I think that was on the Lazo Run podcast. Someone mentioned it.
Yeah, maybe Joker probably. Did? Yeah. I have to go back and see what the latest strats are. And there's new strats being developed every week. It's crazy how much the game changes.
Yeah. I will say this much, any speedrun strat that I've done, I totally credit Naked Eli for. Because his videos were so awesome on that.
Mm-hmm. It's a shame he's not around anymore.
Yeah. He was a great guy to watch and everything, so.
I reach out to him every now and then and just text every once in a while. But yeah, his guides are really good.
Yeah.
Silver's is pretty good, too. He's been doing a lot of work recently with his videos, which has been really nice to have. I think he's one of the few folks out there that's still actively like posting videos to help other people do Lazo and really kind of boil it down to make it understandable for people. So, well, thank you, Pins, for joining the podcast tonight. It's been a pleasure having you on again. It's been too long since we've had you on last time. We didn't get a chance to do anything during Halo Outpost. But
you were a little busy.
Yeah, and a little sick.
Although, to be fair, I had some nice conversations with your wife.
That's good.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I forget who I was. I know Sal was there, so I was talking to him a little bit, but then there was probably...
Dave was there. Fuchs was there.
Yeah, Fuchs was there. Bobby was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This was all in Philly.
Yep. Yeah, I mean,
so.
All in Philly. Good times.
Yep.
You can find the podcast across all social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. No MySpace. You can find the podcast live on Twitch every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can find us right here back behind the stream at 8:30 p.m. on Fridays for our Fraggin' Friday. Again, if you want to participate in that and want to sway the vote on which game we'll be playing for Fridays, head on over to our Discord, podtackler.com/discord, and vote for Halo MCC or Halo 5 for the game that we'll be playing. And then on Sunday nights, between 9 and 9:30, is when I hop on to do Achieving Halo. And still got a couple more of those Season 6 challenges to go for, so we'll probably try to get those done before Season 7 rolls around. You can also check us out on our Spartan Company and Xbox Club. When we do our Tales from the Foxhole segments, that's where we pull some community content from. So if you have a fun little Halo story or moment or thing that you want to share as far as screen grab or little video clip, feel free to share it with us and we'll talk about it on the show. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, and pretty much anywhere where you can get your hands on podcasts. If there's a place that we are not, please let us know, and we will make sure that you can get Podtacular on your preferred podcast service of choice. You can check out the podcast and support us in many different ways. There's the way of just watching the show and sharing us. For all everyone that's out there who listens to us, we thank you so much for just taking your time out of your day to listen to us and sharing us with your friends, family, and whoever else would be interested in the Halo universe. We also have many different ways that you can help out financially if that is something that you wish to do, like Pins here, who is the funding king of Podtacular, pretty much. You can do so by subscribing to us on Twitch. We have Pins being the longest Twitch subscriber. I think it's like, what, 68, 69 months now?
Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. So you can subscribe to us on Twitch. You can also become a Patreon patron and get some nice little perks over there, like VODs to our podcast streams, show notes, some cool swag, and guest hosting opportunities like this that Pins has on here. We have another opportunity coming up with one of our other patrons, Prestige Ace, who will be, he's, I think, just a month or two away from his guest host debut on the podcast. And then we've also got Pins not only gifting out subs, not only subscribing himself to Twitch, but he's also a patron of our Patreon. And then we've got Confal as well helping out. So thank you all for your patronage. If you choose to do so, you can just donate to us directly through PayPal, if that is the way you would prefer to do it. Our latest donation from Bobby was graciously received, way more so than we would expect out of a donor. But we thank you so much, Bobby, for your donation, and just appreciate all the support that we get. Next week, we will have DJ and Rage More Nerd back on the show for tournament number 2 of their DreamHack Griffball series to do draft number 2. Last time was wacky and all over the place, and I expect next week to be no different. So come on over, join us for the live stream. It'll be a lot of fun. And then head into the weekend, head on over to the DreamHack stream to watch the Griffball action take place. Actually, I think it might be on DJ's stream, but it'll be either be DJ's stream or DreamHack stream. And it'll be Griffball pretty much all weekend.
Definitely on DJ. I remember him saying, I'm pretty sure it's definitely his
on his stream. Yeah, I think the last one's on DreamHack's.
Yeah. I think that I don't know if he said last time they were still looking for neutral hosts for that. So I don't know.
Yep. Yeah. So if you're interested in helping out, then hit him up over on Twitter. Twitter's probably the best way to get a hold of them. So, Pins, thank you once again for being on, being a solid supporter of the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you a part of our community. We are blessed to have you here, and we'll be looking forward to the next time we get to see you on the podcast.
Oh, definitely. Thanks again for having me, and I appreciate it.
Sure. Well, until next time, whether you're joining us for Fragging Friday, Achieving Halo, or the next podcast, stay safe out there. Respect one another, especially here in the States with the whole mask lift mandate with all the COVID stuff going on. Just respect one another, be good to one another, and always remember to keep on fragging them trucks.